want to read first from John's Gospel, chapter 19, page number 1297. There's so much in this well-known passage of Scripture. I'm only going to read one very small portion of it, which is most precious and holy, and that is verse 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who saw it bears witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he says true, that ye may also believe. Please excuse me for not reading the whole context of this. Of course, the Lord's crucifixion is the most crucial and key part of the gospel. And I think as I look around, everybody has no doubt read and heard it many times. But I thought for this evening, I would just desire to focus our attention for a little while on these verses and what precedes it. And what is in my mind and my heart this evening is the love of God. We often speak of it, and we all know that the most wonderful aspect of the character of God is his love. We all know that. We've heard it and we've read it in the scriptures. We think of God as holy and righteous. And that, my friend, is most important, that we understand these characteristics. One who abhors sin and cannot have sin in his presence. And yet, above all those things, the most wonderful aspect of the character of God is the fact that he is love. Now, I wonder if you have really seen that for yourself. Not that you have just heard it or that you have read it, but my friend, have you experienced it? Because I want to tell you this evening that it has been demonstrated, it has been recorded so fully in the Holy Scriptures and the servants that were around at the time. Ample evidence as to the love of God. And the love of God is active. Love is active. And was God's love active? Was it active? Do you know the answer to that this evening? The answer, my friend, is most certainly God's love has and is active. God gave his only Son. He came into this world. Think of that. He gave Jesus. He was born here as a holy babe in Bethlehem's manger. What a wonderful gift that was on God's part. Think of the gift of love. God has given and given and given. He gave his Son. Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight, in the past tense. And God gave him into this world in the form of a man. How wonderful that was, that we should find as human beings a man who was walking here in this scene, filled with hatred and sin and violence, murder, lies and deceit. Here was one who walked from his very birth in righteousness and holiness and love before his God and his Father. And wonderful to think of him, how he communed with his Father day by day. How wonderful that is. Are these things real in your heart tonight? What the Lord gave. Everything that he did was an expression of his Father. He had a will of his own, but it was always subject to his Father's will. Think of that. There was not one step that was out of accord with the will of the Father. How humbling that is when we look at ourselves and we find that we fall into sin unwittingly. Yes, sometimes to our shame, we may walk in the wrong direction or do the wrong thing, even purposely, my friend. And yet sometimes we find, even unwittingly, we sin. And yet here was a man who is perfect before his God and his Father. And he demonstrated thus the love of God towards those around him. There has been ample demonstration of the love of God in the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of what he gave. Are you in doubt here tonight about what love has given, what divine love has given for you, my friend? He has given absolutely everything. As he gave his time here amongst men, he gave that time to others. He gave his power to heal others of their leprosy, of their deafness, of their inability to walk. He gave his time for that. And most wonderfully, when it came to the cross, my friend, we see the most wonderful giving. How wonderful it is what he gave of himself. It says he gave his peace. My peace I give to you. He has given everything. And there, at the time of the crucifixion of Christ, just think of what he has given. He gave himself. He gave his body, my friend. He gave his back to the smiters. He gave his face. He gave his cheek to those who would smite him. He gave his head to the crown of thorns that was thrust upon his brow. He gave it all. He gave his body. He gave his arms. He gave his legs for the nails to be driven through into a Roman cross. And, my friend, his soul was made a sacrifice for sin on God's behalf. Think of that. The communion that had always been there, my friend, it was broken for the first and only time, 3 hours in darkness upon that cross. I cannot fully understand it. I do not pretend to ever understand it. But how wonderful it is to think that God was prepared to pour out the judgment that was due to you and me upon the heads of the Saviour, that we might go free. He took upon himself the liability for our sins, that we might never have to suffer. His perfect soul was made an offering for sin, and his body was given. It says here, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Think of the callousness of man, pierced with a sword, and out came blood and water. What does that affect for you, my friend? Think of what the Lord has given. His body and his blood. Think of that blood that flowed out of his riven side in response to that act of violence. My friend, that blood was shed for you. My friend, it was tonight. I desire that if there is anyone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, that they might truly understand by the Holy Spirit tonight that the blood that poured out of the Saviour's side was poured out for them, that they might go free, that they might never have to suffer the righteous judgment of God for their sins. Because, my friend, that is a background to the gospel, is that God is holy and righteous, abhors sin, and he will not have sin in his presence. It is impossible. And my friend, if you fail to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, there is, unfortunately, no other alternative but hell's fires. I hesitate to speak of that. But my friend, if you refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, there is no way that you can find entrance to heaven. And that place that was made for the devil and his angels, it wasn't made for men. There's no other alternative but for you to be in that place. But that's not the gospel, my friend. There is a wonderful opportunity in the gospel tonight, for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and know that your destiny is certain and secure, and it will be with a man, this wonderful, holy and righteous man, the Son of God, who was prepared to die for you. My friend, don't doubt the love of God towards you tonight. Think of what he has given. And my friend, now just pause to think. A response is required. Are you going to listen to all of this and let it wash over you in response to what God has given? Is your heart still unmoved by such great giving? No, God desires your heart to be moved in response towards him. And that is to confess him as Lord and Saviour. You know, God isn't asking for much. He's not asking for a thesis or something on Old Testament scriptures. He's not asking you to go to university. He's not asking you to pay lots of money. We read in the scriptures about how abhorrent that is this afternoon. Money mixed with the things of God. God is not asking for anything like that. He is not asking for any great act in return for such great actions of love on his part. What is he asking for, my friend? He is asking for repentance and faith. How wonderful that is. How wonderful it is that God has made it so simple and he has asked so little of us. Why has he asked so little of us? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all, and he's done it to God's complete satisfaction. My friend, if we needed to do anything on our part, that would demean what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross, on that holy cross. My friend, he has done everything 100% according to God's satisfaction. You think of the whole matter of sin, every man, woman and child. He took it upon his shoulders, and it's been borne completely and perfectly. And it's demonstrated in the scriptures when he said, he cried with a loud cry, "It is finished." And what does that mean for you, my friend? I can tell you what it means for me. It's that all my sins are finished. They're gone forever. Can you say the same thing, my friend? Do you know that all of your sins, past, present and future, willing or unwilling, unwitting, they're all removed from the sight of God forever because of what Christ has done. He will never remember anymore your sins. How wonderful that is. It's a simple message, dear friends. Very, very simple message. Maybe too simple for some. But my friend, consider what God has given tonight. He has given everything. He's given his only son to die upon Calvary's cross. And now he asks you the question, what is your response to this great love? Are you going to repent before me? That is the way of blessing, is that we humble ourselves before a righteous and a holy God. And we say, "Oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner." Think of that man in the scriptures. He wasn't like the Pharisee who thought much of himself and thought little of this tax gatherer beside him. Don't let us be like that. Let us put ourselves in the position of the tax gatherer who could say those words, "Oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner." What a wonderful, happy position to be in. A position of repentance. You know, God would give you repentance tonight in the gospel. My friend, if the Holy Spirit is working in your soul this evening, don't reject. Do not kick against that working by the Holy Spirit. The wind blows where it will. Yes, it is true to say that God's arms are outstretched to bless. But my friend, you cannot guarantee that if the Spirit is working in your soul tonight, that he will ever work again. So my friend, it is most important that you respond to this great love and confess him as your Lord and Saviour. Repent before him, and God would give you yet more. He would give you the gift of faith. Faith in his beloved Son. How wonderful that is. And what does it mean? That, yes, we read these things in the scriptures about his sufferings on our account. And yet he would give us faith. That is, that he would give us the assurance that these things are true. And he would make them a reality in our hearts. That there is truly a man in heaven who is righteous and holy, who has had victory over the grave. Oh, how wonderful it is. What a wonderful opportunity there is in the gospel tonight, in this dispensation of grace that we call it. What an opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in his love and his mercy and his grace towards you. I can't emphasize to you enough this evening how important it is for you to turn around, repent, and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.